Hey everybody, this is Brent Kellogg, the pastor of Hillspring Church in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And this is our podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that this would inspire you, build your faith, and help you take the next step in Christ. Enjoy the message. So I want to take just a unique moment here and just pause. I mean, the timing of this message and everything fits, I believe, God ordained with the conversation that's going on around our country. So a lot of you recognize this guy, this good-looking guy up on stage with me, a long-time friend. And him and his precious wife, Kimberly, have walked through some life with me. And I don't know if you have these relationships in your life that, like, crisis bonds you a little bit. And maybe I don't see you for 2 or 3 months, but then when I do, it's like brothers.
Right.
And Pastor KJ and his wife, pastor an incredible church, do some awesome, incredible ministry, celebrating their 14th year, but their story starts here. Their story starts right here in this room. He did me a favor. I was involved with the Baptist Association. I was involved with the church planning team. And we had put together this big, massive church planning tour of Tulsa, had 5-6 stops. And I was trying to fill buses with just warm bodies, you know what I'm saying? And KJ was on staff here, and I go into his office like, man, I just need to, I know you're busy, I know you got a lot going on, but man, if you could just come. And you almost didn't go on that tour. You almost let the business do. And he goes on this church planning tour, and God captivated.
Absolutely.
And captured his heart. And just a few months later, what was then New Beginnings Church was launched and birthed, and what was then Cornerstone was able to partner and sponsor that church and send that out. Man, he and I served on staff together, have been brothers together. Absolutely. So first of all, from the bottom of my heart, man, say thanks for taking time out of your week to come. And so the whole story started on Monday, just kind of watching the landscape of America. I just didn't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to fix this. This is big. And so I grabbed my phone and I sent a text message to KJ. And I think I said, man, I don't even know what to say.
Yep.
Other than I want you to know I love you and I'm proud of you and I'm with you. And if you ever need me, I'm here. And his response back to me was, this has hit me harder than I even anticipated. And I don't want to put words, but this, you said it's one of the hardest seasons you've ever pastored.
Absolutely.
And I just kind of sit down, okay. We had a conversation. We had a conversation because there, I know two things. I know that number one, I don't know what it's like to be KJ.
Right.
I don't know what it's like to grow up being an African-American young man. I don't know. The other thing I do know is we can do better.
Amen.
And that's the heart of this conversation. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:26, that if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. That should be the heartbeat of the church.
Amen. Amen.
Is that when part of our brothers and sisters, regardless of race, color, region, whatever, when they hurt, man, we hurt too. And that's where I was at Monday. Man, I was just hurting. And so we're here. And so I'm just going to take this opportunity just to ask KJ some questions, because here's the reality. This conversation, we're just getting lost in the weeds.
Absolutely.
The 1% of both sides, because there's a lot of great people in the middle. So you got this 1% of law enforcement, right? Because the vast, vast majority of people of law enforcement are good men and women that have put their life on the line to serve and protect, right? But then there's those.
Right.
Like with what happened, that is wrong.
Right.
Then you have a lot of people that are walking and protesting and they're doing it peacefully. And what they're saying with their time and their walking is, I hear you. I want better. We can do better. But then you've got this vast, just this 1% that's creating chaos. And and I just want to see America come to the table. It's so beautiful when you see the picture of like the Olympics.
That's right.
Something that we have is we have this beautiful palette of color. We can do better. And that's what this conversation is about. And so I want to talk to that person that says, I get it. We can do better. But what can I do? I mean, I can put some hearts on social media and I can share, but what can I do, man? What would you say to that person?
Well, first, Brent, just thank you again for, brother, your friendship, for your love for myself and my family over the years. And, you know, I was telling you that when you text me at just the right time because I was having one of my moments.
I have them.
Just having
Mondays.
Moments. Yeah, it was one of my Monday moments. And in my Monday moment, I was looking at what was unfolding, and I'm weeping as I'm hearing the news, and it began to trigger some unfortunate memories that I had even as a child growing up. I'm from Inglewood, Los Angeles. And so one of the things about me that, Brent, you may not even know is that Johnny Cochran, who, you know, we famous Johnny Cochran, right. his first case that he defended was my father in Inglewood, Los Angeles, wow. for police brutality. And so my family won a big settlement against the LA Police Department because the police had beaten my father. And so, you know, as I'm watching what was happening on TV, you know, it's like, it's amazing how you look at childhood traumas and what can trigger those things. And I found myself getting angry, and I found myself, you know, my flesh was really starting to rise up, and I really wanted to get on social media, and I really wanted to do something. And then I got a text from you, like, just at that time and just at that moment. And the Lord just used you just to snap me back into my senses and say, just remember, what you see is not all that there is.
Right.
And so so thank you for even your honesty of saying, look, I don't know what to do, because I think that's important. So to your question, I think that's a very, very great question. You know, what can I do? Well, I think it starts with acknowledging there's a problem. And let me just tell you a quick story. You know, when I was a kid, most people don't understand that black people who have lived in America, and I'm not going to speak for all,
sure,
but I can say that the majority of all that I even know, and even myself personally, I don't think that there's one person that I've ever talked to or coming in contact with who doesn't have this type of story. See, when I grew up, when I was 9 years old, 9 years old was the first time that I really discovered what it meant to be black. And when I say what it meant to be black, I'm not talking about to have a different color skin, brown skin, but to be an African American or to be, you know, to be of a different ethnicity here in the United States. And when I was 9 years old, I played Little League Baseball. I grew up in an all, pretty much all white area, and I was the only black kid on my team.
Wow.
And but that never bothered me. I mean, I've my whole life in existence was that way. Well, the season played out, and we had gotten to the end of the season. It was All-Star time, so they bring all the teams out to the diamond, and then all the teams are represented, and they call the All-Star players from each team out to the center to be recognized. Well, when I was 9 years old, I was hoping that I would make the All-Star team, and I was so excited. They called my name. I come prancing out to the center of the field, and I go there, and I get my medal, and I get to stand up there with all the other kids. And as I'm standing there in my proudest moment as a 9-year old, sitting there with the All-Star team, knowing I'm going to get to travel to Las Vegas and play ball and do all this stuff this summer, there comes a shout from the stands that says, "Get that N-word."
No.
Off the field, he does not deserve to be there.
I'm sorry, bro.
And at that moment was the very first moment in my life that I recognized that not only was my skin different, but that the world viewed me different. Not everybody, but that there was this view that there was something different about me. And I'll never forget this. I began to cry. And I ran off the field, and my dad was over there on the side, and I ran over to my dad, and he got down in front of me, he grabbed me by both of my shoulders, and he looked me dead in my eye, and he says, "You turn around and you get back out there on that field." He says, "You do not ever let anyone rob you of what is rightfully yours because of what they think about you." And he turned me around and he pushed me to go back out on the field, and I went back out on the field, but I cried like a baby the whole time. And so what does that story have to do with the question? Well, it has to do with the understanding. It's like, well, what can I do? Well, first, you've got to understand and acknowledge and accept that black people have a very painful, heart-wrenching story in our country. I mean, and it has perpetuated throughout post-slavery, post-civil rights. I mean, I went to Home Depot just on Sunday to go get the big mallets so we could drive the stakes in the ground for the tent. And as I'm walking into Home Depot, I've got my little COVID mask on, and I'm getting the gloves, and I'm, you know, I'm getting these big mallets so we can drive the stakes. It's like, you know, the people are looking at me like, okay, what are you gonna do with the, are you gonna go break down, you know? I mean, like, I'm walking down, and I literally felt so self-conscious, I took off my mask, and I went and talked to one of the people at Home Depot, and I said, "Look, I said, I just need to have an 8 to 10 pounder so that I can, we're going through asphalt." And I said, but do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's acknowledging and understanding that there is a segment in our population that this is normal, and not brushing that aside and saying quickly that that's just not me.
So I've always been the guy, let's put the other person's shoes on. That's not my baseball story.
Oh. Right.
And so, I mean, there's a lot of us that would say, and I love you, I love you. There's a lot of us that would say, I'm not racist, I have racist bone in my body. But I don't know that we connect the dots of what it's like to put that other person's shoes on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that story you told is powerful. I mean, what would you say? How would you encourage them? Here, put their shoes on.
Right. Right. So here's what I would even say. Yeah, even in that, it's not about saying that I'm not racist or I'm not prejudiced, because instantly you've made this about you.
Yeah.
Right? So the first thing, and this is just an act of love, of biblical, true, agape love, is just acknowledging that you have a hurt, you have a pain, like you just so eloquently shared with the scripture. But being able to say, you know what? Understand, acknowledge that this person has a real life pain, and I need to not just acknowledge it, but I need to begin to act upon it. And that's what we're beginning to see right now. What I love, the silver lining in what's happening, is I have never in my life seen as much support, positive support, never in my lifetime. And I'm sure it has been, but I've never seen as much positive support. But I think even doing what you did, reaching out and not trying to fix or placate me or anything, and just saying, listen, I'm here. Listen, I've got you. Listen, anything you need, you let me know. Acknowledging that you see that there's a problem, you know that we can do better, you see that there are systemic things in society that need to change, and just acknowledging that and saying, you know what, not only do I acknowledge it, but I'm going to stand with you. And that's what you did with me, even in that little text. You're like, listen, what I heard you say is I got you. Yeah. I got you. The call of what's happening right now is not that every person that is in a pew or every person that is at Walmart or every person that is out there in the world is racist. It's that there is a system that is set up that has bred inequity in our communities and in our families that America has refused to deal with. And let me give you an example. If your family and my family both went on vacation, we could pick anyway. We go to California. We go to stay in any hotel. Now, my daughter, Janae, is full African-American, so she's got kinky hair, right? If you think about your kids, if we go to the same hotel, if I don't bring special shampoo, think about this.
Come on.
If I don't bring special shampoo because hair textures are different.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go to a hotel and think about that.
Right.
Because what is in the hotel is fine for you. But see, that is a systemic issue all that is permeated throughout the entire country, not because anybody is nefarious or anybody is inherently evil or anybody has purposed with this evil plan, but it's because that is the system the country was built on.
Right.
And now what is happening is there is an uprising of saying, listen, we've got to do better and fix the system and think about everybody.
We can do better.
We can do better.
You know, this is a hard time in America. You're in probably a depression. I think if economists admit it, you've come through a global pandemic, murder hornets.
Right? right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a presidential election. Right, we're
right.
All excited about those
Absolutely.
Ads. Right?
Right.
And this is a hard time in America. And so the church is changing going forward from COVID. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things. Companies are changing going forward from COVID. Social distancing is part of maybe a new norm. You know what I'm saying? What are you praying? What are you hoping that is changed coming through this season and through this conversation?
Man, that my prayer every day for the church has been that we would see the COVID as a great trigger to return us back to Acts 2 style church.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we haven't necessarily been able to gather and assemble, but that doesn't mean that we're not a community of faith. And so, you know, in this season, I'm like, Lord, thank you for shaking the church to make us have to find ways to intentionally connect. That we have to understand that, okay, the church, it can't be about just gathering in the building. It has to be something more. So my prayer out of this is like, Lord, for one, for the church, help us to get back to what the church truly is. Yeah. But then even for the community, what I loved is as I see what is happening all around, I see people doing feeding programs. I see all this outreach. And my prayer is that God is using this even in the community for people to take care of each other's needs, that would come about. And I see it.
Yeah.
But I pray that God would tear down every idol, that we've set up in our own hearts and minds about what is normal. Because I can admit, even for myself, there's things that I fall into. You know, you have this ebb and flow of life, and you get up and you do what you do, and you accept everything that is as normal or as it should be. And I think that God in this hour has disrupted all of that. And my prayer is that we would pay attention, that we would pay attention and say, okay, God just disrupted the entire flow of not just the United States, but the entire planet. He disrupted everybody's flow. And so my prayer is that we would stop and pay attention, like Joshua, when he's going to take Jericho and he comes and encounters the angel of the Lord, right? He'd come after the victory of the Amalekites when Moses was up there praying, and he was used to going out and fighting with the sword. But now he's going to take the biggest battle of his life, and he wasn't going to be able to do it with the sword. He was going to have to stop because God disrupted the flow. You weren't running into Jericho to fight a battle, Joshua.
Right. Come on.
I'm going to disrupt the flow. Take off your shoes because the place that you're standing is holy ground. You're in the middle of the battle, but it's holy ground. Stop right here. Connect with me. What does Joshua do? He says, what is it that you want me to do? He gets a divine strategy. So my prayer is that we as the church, we as God's people, that we acknowledge, we are aware, we accept that there's an issue. We stop, we get, before we go in march, before we go in post,
come on, brother,
before we go in tweet, before we stop and we get a divine strategy on God, what is it that you want us to do? Because just because we defeated this adversary with marching in the civil rights movement, just because Joshua defeated the Amalekites with the sword in the valley, doesn't mean that you're gonna take Jericho the same way. We need a different strategy. So my prayer is, God, give us that strategy.
Man, we've talked so much about the COVID. Don't go back to normal. Don't go back to normal. Don't go back to, you know, normal. And let that apply here too.
Amen.
Let's not go back to normal.
Amen.
Let's engage in conversation.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody that don't look like you may not live in your neighborhood. Let's engage in conversation. Let's not let the weeds distract the great that's going on here.
Amen.
In this moment. And so here's the deal. We can start throwing out data. We can take each situation and go, well, you know what happened before that moment. You know what happened here. Listen, I don't want to deal with that.
Right.
I want to deal with my heart.
Right.
I want to deal with me. I want to deal with my city. Mm-hmm. I want to deal with my church because we can do better.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I want to ask you, just take a moment and just pray.
Absolutely.
Dude, I've watched God's anointing on your life for 15 years.
Thank you, brother.
And I don't know I've ever been more proud of you.
Thank you.
Love what God's doing through you and Pastor Kimberly and just the work that you're doing over there. And man, I want you to just, that anointing that God has grown and placed on your life, I just want you to just take a moment, pray for our nation,
Amen.
Pray for our community, pray for the church that as one part suffers, we all suffer together. So.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Heavenly Father, this moment in time, this moment in history, it is all a part of your story, God. And we as your people, we are coming before you saying, God, we don't have all the answers. We don't have the fixes. We don't have the magic cures. We don't have the magic words. But Father, we are armed with your love.
Yeah.
And if we will lead with your love, love is irresistible.
It's good.
And so, Father, I pray for an awakening in the hearts of your people, those who name the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that love would burst forth, God. That they would love enough to pick up a phone and make a call, that they would love enough to pick up the phone and make a text, that they would love enough to even march if they need to march, that they would love enough to take groceries, that they would love enough to engage in the conversation, that they would love enough to say, I don't know what to do, but whatever it is that you need from me, I'm here, that they would just love God. And that God, maybe in this moment, maybe in this moment of disruption in our country, and maybe in this moment of disruption with health, with COVID and everything that has happened, that maybe, just maybe, God, that your love would burst forth like a shining light out of the church, out of your people, and it would spread into the workplaces, And then the companies would then begin to be energized by that love, and they would respond in like manner. And that, Father, that transformation would begin to come because it begins with us individually saying, you know what? I know and I acknowledge that there is something wrong, but God, I am here. Here am I. Send me, God. Send me. Send me out into this world to be a difference. I don't care if it means I'm going to be persecuted, because blessed are those who are persecuted, for they shall see God. God, here am I. Use me however you want to use me to make a difference, but let not the status quo remain in our country. Let not the status quo remain in our city. Let not the status quo remain in my heart. Father, show us all our biases. Show us all the areas where we've got blinders on and we've become numb to the ills of this world and the injustices of this world. Father, that you would just remove the scales from our eyes in this hour so that we may see you in the midst of the battle.
Come on.
Father, I can see the walking, I can see the looting, I can see the cursing, I can see the graffiti, I can see the hurts, I can hear the shouts. But Father God, I pray that we would see you and that you would speak to us. Father, let your voice become so loud and clear that the people of God hear one voice, that they hear one sound from heaven that unifies us in one call. And it'll start just like with Pastor Brent reaching out to me. And he's like, this is what the Lord told me. And I'm going to echo on the other side and say, yes, the Lord told me the same thing. And then I'm going to call somebody and they're going to be like, the Lord told me the same thing. And you are going to raise up an army, God, that is going to lead the fight in a way that you have ordained, in a way that is going to bring victory. And we know it's going to be built on the backs of prayer, on the backs of worship, and on the backs of children who are willing to be obedient to you. So, Father, help us to do better.
Come on.
Holy Spirit, empower us to be better. Lord, let us get rid of all of our excuses of why things are the way they are and just show us what it is that you want us to do right now to help them become different. I thank you for Hillspring. I thank you for the seed that they have sown in helping to start New Beginnings, which is now Zion. Thank you that the seed that they have sown in us to get us launched and birthed and sheltered and cared for as a good parent should is helping us lead the way, Father, to be on the ground, fighting the good fight of faith, bringing people back to you. So, Lord, as they have blessed us, may you richly return that blessing to them in like manner. Father, I love you, and I thank you in Jesus' name.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's a couple of things I want to invite you to do. First, hit the subscribe button. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Secondly, if this message has impacted you and you would like to help us reach others, visit our website at hillspring.tv and hit the Give Now button so that we can take this message around the globe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.